Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'll be your host for this program. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone from the music industry. Today, I am very happy to welcome two guests. I have Marvin Ayres and Sonia Christina. That they have just released a collaborative CD under the band name Mask. Technopia is certainly an interesting adventure. Marvin, welcome
Hi.
To the program.
Hello there.
Sonia, welcome to the program.
Hello.
I should point out that my guests are calling in from England. That's not New England. That's the Old England. So, more appropriately, I should say good evening to them. It's what, nine o'clock?
Local
time.
Yeah, 9 p.m. and the snow has just gone from outside. It's been very, very, very snowy. But I was just outside of London. It's still snowy outside of London, but the snow's gone from here.
Marvin, I don't believe that we've talked before. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What's your background in the music world?
Okay. Well, I studied as a classical cellist, and then sort of soon after graduating, I was doing sessions and working with bands, and then I was with a band called The Government, which toured around Europe, and then I started working with sort of major bands. I was working with a production company, and then I kind of just carried on that sort of same trajectory, and eventually got into composition and then production. I'm giving you a very truncated lifestyle.
It sounds very truncated. I'm going to come back to exactly how a cellist gets involved in music very shortly. Sonia Christina is a name that I know very well. In fact, I still have my original vinyl version of Air Conditioning. For listeners not familiar with Sonia, she was, well, still is, part of an amazing band called Curved Air. Can you tell us a little bit about your career?
Yeah, I started as a singer-songwriter during the original kind of 60s folk movement in England, and I did that during my teens, and then I was in the original cast of the tribal rock musical Hair in London when it opened at the Shaftesbury Theatre, and then I met the nucleus of the band that was Curved Air, who were also, they were playing as the pit band for another musical by Galt McDermott, who wrote the music for Hair, so there was a connection there. And so I'd been in Hair for 2 years and was getting bored of the 8 shows a night, even though it was a great show to be in, and thought it was time to move on, so I jumped into that space. And I loved what they did. It was very, very kind of proficient and magical and atmospheric, and they needed lyrics, and so I wrote lyrics for their tunes. Sometimes they had a couple of lines, but we created the songs that were eventually on the first album, and we toured all around Europe and up and down England, and then 9 months later, all the record companies were sort of fighting to sign us, because we had a good manager. He was a creative person, and we got a fantastic deal with Warner Brothers Records, and they gave us a big advance, and so we were able to kind of go out and buy lots of equipment, and we went out on tour, and our first tour was supporting Black Sabbath with Ozzy Osbourne. And that was a strange marriage of bands, but it went very well because we were very melodic and Black Sabbath are very Black Sabbath. And so we the first album went into the top 10, and the first three albums charted, and then we broke up, and then we got back together again, and then we broke up, and then we got back together again, and we played most, I got another band together in when the original band broke up. I got a band together with young Eddie Jobson, who now is very well known from playing with Frank Zappa and Roxy Music, and he's a violinist and keyboard player. And so I had a band, a lineup of Curved Air that, with him taking the role of the violinist and keyboard player that had left, what was Darryl Way and Francis Monkman. And Curved Air was important because they were one of the very first British bands to use an electric violin in a rock band as opposed to a folk band. And they were classically trained, and so that was different too. And Francis Monkman was also one of the original people who was experimenting with processing sound and electronica, and he worked with a VCS3 synthesizer and a machine that just an oscillating thing that just played with what you could do with manipulating frequencies and things. So I mean, Curved Air was a groundbreaking band in when those sort of things were not common at all.
If it's any consolation, I do have all three of the first albums, and yes, they're on vinyl.
Yes, well, vinyl's coming back, they say. It's very popular. People not making CDs anymore. They're going to make all their output on vinyl.
Oh, I can't wait for it. So, how did the collaboration for Mask and, more importantly, Technopia come about?
Mask in general, Sonia was making a jazz album many years ago now. And
Sonia did jazz?
It's rumored, yeah, she did, because I played on it and produced it, co-produced it. But that's how we met. So I was, I happened to meet Sonia at that particular moment in time, and she was making this album, so she asked me to play on it, strings, range strings and stuff. And so after that album was finished, I thought it would be a nice idea to do some recording together. So that was the beginning of Mask. So which ended up with our first album, which is Heavy Petal.
He said he was going to use my voice in a way it had never been used before, and record it in a completely different way. And it was great because we improvised music together. And I had just been through a period of time. This long gap. We've jumped from the end of Curved Air, and then I was married. Well, I was my husband, now ex-husband, was Stuart Copeland from The Police, and when the Curved Air ended, I had another band whilst he was setting up The Police, and I had some various solo projects. And then I had a long period when I was busy with my children, who were now teenagers, and that was even more time-consuming than when they were babies. And I just didn't have a creative a creative thought in my head. I tried to write songs and they all came out as rubbish. And so I thought, as a bridge, after several years of this, I would, I'd been teaching voice in a university and been working a lot with jazz singers, and I didn't know that much about jazz before that. But I'd met all these lovely songs, and I thought, well, that would be a good way. I'd go into the studio and record my favourite ones from those, which would be different for me, but I didn't want to do them in the predictable jazzy way. And I had heard of Marvin's work, because he's been doing sort of exciting stuff in galleries and in London, at the ICA in London and Whitechapel Gallery, and with installations and doing moving image and audio sort of creative installations. And I'd heard some of the work that he'd done, and then he came round I'd heard some of the work that he'd done, and then I asked him if he'd be interested in providing. I wanted to record the tracks very simply and behind the instruments, which are playing very minimally. The album's called Creed Occur. I wanted some weirdness, some strange ambience. It was sort of based on a sort of a Bad Lamenti soundtrack that I'd heard for an album for a movie called Straight Story, which was actually country music, but it had this weird sound, this kind of ominous sort of things, electronic sound in the background. And so I kind of wanted to create this sort of ambient jazz thing. I didn't want it to sound like old-fashioned 50s, 30s jazz. I wanted it to sound like it could come from any time. And so that was why when I heard Marvin's music, I thought,
you thought, I'll hire the weirdo.
No, he's so beautiful. He'd already recorded these albums, which were fantastic reviews and lots of excitement about his work. He'd done an album called Chelosphere and another album called Neptune, and they're just so gorgeous, layers and layers and layers of strings, and it just so warm and yet, exciting and edgy at the same time. And so, I was just very excited to work with him, and so pleased that he wanted to work with me.
I'll tell you what. Well, why don't we take a musical break and listen to one of the tracks off this wonderful new album. This is
Techno
Mask, Sound and Vision. Thank you. Well, I have to say, Sonia, that I must be wrong. I thought Curved Air was back in the 70s, but your voice is one that sounds like it belongs to someone in their 20s.
Well, thank you. That's Marvin's production.
Of course.
He does wonderful things with my voice.
He keeps saying.
No, that truly is a wonderful, wonderful song. Marvin.
It's a David Bowie song, you know?
Yes, it is indeed. Sorry, I meant to mention that. Now, that's the only only song on the CD that is not written directly by either Marvin or collaboration of you two.
That's yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's our tribute to David Bowie. We both think that, you know, we both respect what he does, and we both, you know, still respond to what he, you know, particularly what he was doing around about that time, and you know, so that's it's kind of it is our nod to his work, but done in our way.
Marvin, if you had to put a genre label on Mask, what would you use? Is it prog? Is it experimental? What is it?
Well, it's not. I don't think it's prog at all. I think it's a mixture of things, really, and I think it's got elements of all genres of music. I think if you have, because there are two albums, the first one, Heavy Petrol, and Technopia. I think when you kind of the first album was much more ambient. And less kind of song format, and the new one, Technopia, has more songs with layered instrumentals as well. So I think it's kind of very beaty, it's very rhythmic and contemporary, and elements of rock and jazz and ambience. I think it's quite difficult to categorize as one category, but maybe. All artists say that, I don't know, but I find it is quite difficult to categorise. Don't you agree, Sonia?
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably the kind of easy way out is just to say it's alternative, and it does, you know, just it there is some classical, you know, quite a lot of, you know, the Marvin's piano playing is classical in style at times, and then but there's a lot of strangeness and his particular kind of sound molding of sound frequencies in the production, particularly, you know, there's lots of layers of strings and orchestras, and there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things to listen to, but then the songs are also I think very immediate too. It isn't complicated listening, but I think that the production is has a lot of depth, and a lot is very interesting and very unique.
Who is Mask? Who are Mask? I don't know how quite to phrase
the two of
that.
Us, really.
Yeah.
But it's not just the two of you. You know that there are other people involved.
Yeah, because we wanted to make this album much more rhythmic, and we had at the time we had met a percussionist, a drummer, who also was an engineer. So he engineered our album, and we also had Kirby, who actually played on the fourth Curved Air album.
Yeah, he played on the Air Cut album, which with the one the album with Eddie Jobson.
Kirby being a guitarist.
Yeah, that, that
he played on three or four tracks on the album.
Yeah, that line. Yeah, he's wonderful, amazing, kind of completely sort of off the wall guitarist, and he plays on the track Technopia, not on any of the tracks that you're playing today, I don't think. There is some very exciting guitar playing. He played on Sound and Vision.
Yeah.
A guitarist called
Steve Bird.
Yeah, and he was a colleague of mine from the band that I was in immediately after the Curved Air broke up in sort of end of 76 when I was on tour in 1977. Steve Bird was my guitarist. And so he made a guest appearance on this album playing, but he played bouzouki and
oud,
you know, real
ethnic instruments.
Yes, and on a couple of tracks. So
isn't it fun just to invent music?
Yeah.
And that's really what I'm hearing from both of you. You know, don't go for the easy route. You know, find something that's fun.
Well, both of us have an instinct about that. We don't have to be kind of told twice, you know, asked twice even. We both like things that appeal to us, obviously, but are different. And we have one mind in terms of production as well, I think, that we have the same values. We don't like sort of compression and everything sounding very sort of
quantization
and thin and processed, and we like things to be warm and like you say, sort of different and experimental
and even when it comes to mastering, we've tried, you know, the people mastering things the conventional way, which is basically everything all pretty much at the same level.
We're
with
just terrible fusspots,
compressed and things, but we've actually finally found
somebody who's brilliant.
Yes, who keep the dynamics within the performance. So because we have it has more dynamics in it than your average sort of pop rock record, which seems to everything on the radio seems to sound the same to me, and I think that Marvin's work is much warmer and fuller than anything else that I hear. I mean, there's lots of stuff that I love, but
I have a theory, and I could be completely wrong. In fact, my dad by no means comes from, you know, any scientific study, but I've been around the music business quite a long time. The percentage of prog musicians, and I'm sorry, I know you don't like that term. You know, you'd prefer alternative or whatever. But their music training is always classical. And by classical, I don't mean, you know, they love J.S. Bach. They studied music in an academic setting. And I'm sure you both did.
Marvin certainly didn't, but I when I left Curved Air, that was when my children were small. That was when I actually did courses in music theory, and I went to a classical singing teacher just because I'd always thought that if I ever, you know, I was always so busy on the road and in the studio for so many years, I thought, but if that ever stopped, I really did want to study music. So I studied to a certain degree, but then I studied performing arts at master's degree level, you know, but that was more of a kind of academic approach. But, you know, we looked at all the different disciplines, you know, from a cultural point of view. So, you know, but no, I really have a kind of you know, I've learned on the job, really, from singing, just from standing in front of people and singing.
Well, I agree with what you say about...
I love that. I just learned on the job.
Okay. Well, that's what you say, isn't it?
Okay, Marvin...
not an American term.
Marvin, I want to hear your answer.
On prog or on...
No.
I was about to say that I agree with what you said about that musicians of that genre tend to be classically trained and very, very kind of proficient. And there's no doubt about that. I think where I kind of part company with prog music is that I think sometimes it becomes a bit self-indulgent, and having great ability on an instrument doesn't always translate to a wider audience who aren't into that particular thing. So that's where I think that, yeah, I would sort of differ from that. So in a sense, I have a kind of producer's hat on all the time. So as well as being a player and a writer, I'm sitting there as a producer and thinking, what works there? What do I need to edit? And I like minimal playing. I suppose I like minimalism. That's not to say that other prog musicians aren't. I'm just saying that as a general feel, that's what I kind of sense from. But I also think it's a shame that in general that the music industry shies away from people having sort of great musical ability and now tends to focus more on what people look like and stuff like that. The less kind of important thing.
Oh, I think all of us in the music industry share that same feeling. You know, why is it that we just keep going back to what was rather than what is or what could be? I don't know why that is, but I'll tell you what. Let's play another track. How about Space in Between? How does that sound, folks?
Cool.
Wonderful.
particular song has some very jazzy sounds about it. It likely wasn't the song that I was expecting from Sonia. What do you have to say about it?
Why do you not think that would be a song from Sonia? That's interesting.
It had a very jazzy feel.
What, the vocal or the backing?
Both. I mean, it's a beautiful song, don't get me wrong. But
no, I'm not saying you don't think that. It's an interesting question. Probably better you answer that.
Well, we improvised. Marvin, he had the basic feel for the song.
That song came together immediately.
Yeah.
I had a bath at your house.
Oh, don't blame that's Marvin. It's not down his down fault. and actually, the song is just wonderful. I love it.
Yes, because we improvise. I think if there's any influence, it's Cesaria Evora, because we, you know, we both like that. She's somebody that we both enjoy, and we play her soda, her.
A little example.
Yeah, but no, and I think that that was where I was wanting to take the feeling of the song really. Which is like sort of Latin American, is it? So South American, Latin American thing, and
a lilt.
Yes, yeah. And the song is just about.
But the very jazzy chords as well, then, around that.
Ah, well, there is the jazzy.
Yeah, no, definitely, it's a kind of a little hybrid there.
Yeah, and then the song is pure romance. It's about, you know, loving somebody so completely and intensely that, you know, and yet that being a universal experience that creates an alternate reality when you are in love.
Okay.
Which is real.
And
it's
yeah,
also about love being a very strong force. It's about love and romance.
Okay, that certainly works for me. I do have a couple of other questions. I know that our listeners are going to want to buy copies of this wonderful, wonderful CD. What's their best option?
Well, it now is going to be released. The record company put the release date back to the end of February, so if they can wait another 4 weeks and make a note in their diary to check Amazon round about the end of February, it should be available. Certainly, you know, because it's on Rare Records, which is Repertoire, and their distribution is pretty good. So I imagine that it will be available. Yeah, it should be available on import too. I would imagine from. On Amazon, certainly.
Okay, but what if someone wants it right now, can they get onto your website?
If they want it right now, well, yes, the Mask MySpace is www.myspace.com/MaskUK, and
Facebook fan page
because you can find the Facebook, but it's got lots of numbers after the Facebook fan page. The best way to become a fan of Sonia Christina, a friend of Sonia Christina, which
is
there's a link to the Mask fan page. Sorry?
I'm already a fan of Sonia Christina.
Yes, but there's, you know, on this on the Facebook, if you become my friend on Facebook, you can find me.
Because the record company is Tang Record Company are running that, so they'll have all the kind of updates and availability and all that sort of stuff.
So it's being released worldwide. You know, it should be available. You know, if somebody really wants one, we can probably find them one and a pre-release copy, maybe. I don't know.
Or the record company.
Or the record company can.
Yeah.
So just contact the MySpace or
Facebook.
Or the Facebook Mask fan page, which you have to become my friend first and then the Mask fan.
Time is just about up. My automated producer is telling me stop now.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they have no sense of adventure.
No.
But
the world is run by computers now.
I do want to say thank you very much to Sonia and Marvin taking time out to talk with us today. And it's been wonderful. And I am looking forward to your next adventures.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, this is Simon Barrett for Blogger News Network, wishing everyone a wonderful day, and we will talk again soon. Goodbye.
Hello?
That's it, I think.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, hello. Oh, that's it, I think.